105 FM and WBAI.org online. It is 2:30 p.m.
Healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for May 13th, 2022.
When your air and water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Nurdles.
Nurdles?
It's too bad the name is so cute because they're not cute.
Our guest today is Alexis Goldsmith, Beyond Plastics National Organizing Director.
Welcome, Alexis. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Alexis Goldsmith, and I am the organizing director for Beyond Plastics. And I live in upstate New York, but I'm from Indiana, and I graduated from Indiana University. And in my free time, I like to garden, and I have hazelnuts and chestnuts planted this year. And I also do local organizing in New York's capital region to end waste incineration.
How long have you been in New York?
This will be 5 years in August.
Cool.
Tell us a little bit about Beyond Plastic. What are they doing these days?
So Beyond Plastics is a national project based out of Bennington College. We are spearheaded by Judith Enck, the former EPA Region 2 administrator, and we are dedicated to ending plastic pollution. Now, we're just a U.S. project. We don't do international projects, but we use our policy expertise and our grassroots organizing skills to mobilize people to pass legislation to effectively reduce the production of plastics and the use of plastics.
And given how many multinational corporations live here, U.S. policy can have a pretty big effect, I would imagine.
Yes. Well, the U.S. is lagging far behind in that policy.
No surprise there.
Yes. Right now, it's really just state by state. plastic bans, things like bag bans or polystyrene bans, straws upon request. I wish that we had a national bag ban, but we don't. And unfortunately, our recycling rate, as we just released in a report this week with the last beach cleanup, has fallen to below 6% for plastics in the United States, which is among the worst in the world. But recycling plastics isn't a solution anyway.
Why isn't recycling a solution?
Recycling is not a solution for plastics.
That has only become in newsworthy recently. Everybody thought that they can throw out their plastics in the plastic bin and everything will be wonderful and they're doing something to the planet. And only really recently has been exposed that plastic recycling does not work.
Well, the plastic manufacturers have really good PR teams that have managed to convince the public that recycling is the solution and people don't want to pollute the planet with plastic. So if you put it in the blue bin, you feel good about yourself because you think that the plastic is being taken care of. Or maybe it's not that you feel good about yourself, but you feel like the problem is taking care of itself because recycling is the answer. But the true statistics on plastic recycling tell us that plastic recycling is not the answer, and it would only be the answer if it displaced virgin plastic production, which it has never done, and we know it never will because the plastic industry has invested more than $200 billion in petrochemical plants to produce more plastic. So they have no incentive to reduce plastic production. Another reason that we know recycling doesn't work is because in the plastic production process, all of these waste and pollution pathways happen before the plastic even gets made into a product. And we can't recycle plastic that's trapped in the environment because of spills or pollution.
Why not?
Well, we can't recycle plastic, period. But once it gets into the environment, it is impossible, very difficult, if not impossible, to clean nurdles out of the environment.
My understanding is that you can, to a limited extent, recycle it, but it degrades every time you do. So you got lower quality plastic out of the better quality plastic. And then, you know, every time it goes through it, it downgrades. So that's the 6% that's being recycled. But, you know, not leaving the stuff that gets out into the nurdles that are on the beach that you don't have access to recycle, right?
I would say yes. And it's important to note that all plastic is eventually disposed of.
The reason I keep asking about why recycling doesn't work is because the plastics industry has done that wonderful job of convincing people that you can recycle plastic. And so I would like to get into some detail about why you can't. Sally mentioned the degradation. Is that the only reason?
Well, that's a main reason, is that it's not efficient to recycle plastics. Another reason is that the recycled content is more expensive than virgin plastic and it's lower quality. So as long as virgin plastic is cheap and abundant, it's not going to be displaced by the recycled plastic. Another issue with plastics recycling that makes it so difficult is most plastics are mixed materials. So they're mixed resins, or they're mixed with paper, glass, metal, or they're contaminated with food. And those are impossible to recycle because you can't separate the materials. And if you don't know what resin it is, you can't recycle it. And only two of the resins out of the many different types of resins can be efficiently recycled.
So we've got the numbers stamped on so many things, the 1, 2, 3, up to 7. Some towns say they recycle like 1, 2, and 5. Others have different things. Is that part of the 6% that's at least being recycled, or is that a myth?
Yes. Yes. Number 1 and number 2 are generally accepted, but they need to have an end use market. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they don't. So maybe that recycling center you were talking about, Ken, does have a market, and that's great. Right. But a lot of municipalities don't, and it's very expensive to sort all of that material.
And we've heard about how some countries are no longer accepting our recycling because it's not clean enough, or they just have, we're drowning them with it. So That's
right, exactly. And we can't recycle our way out of this problem, really. We need to produce less plastics in the first place.
That's the bottom line. We can't recycle our way out of this problem.
Yeah.
And so how do we stop using plastic? It's so ubiquitous. The anti-environmentalists love pointing out all the different things that are made of plastic and how dare us try to stop it.
Well, the good news is you mentioned wanting a national bag ban. We've got one in New Jersey, and people are bringing their own bags to the grocery stores or buying them if they must, but no more free bags, paper or plastic. Phasing out styrofoam for food delivery as well.
They buy them, and then they go back to the store and buy another one because they're not bringing it with them.
So at some point...
At some point, they stop doing that.
Right. Yeah. You learn. It takes a while.
Now, one thing that we have been talking about, what this show is going to be about, is Nurdles. Nurdles, it sounds like such a cute name, but it's really far from cute. Could you tell us a little bit about Nurdles?
Sure. Well, in the United States, more than 99% of plastics are produced from fossil fuels, oil and gas, and increasingly they're produced from ethane gas, which comes from fracking. So the gas goes through a long supply chain until it gets to a plastic factory, which is called an ethane cracker, or it could be a polystyrene plant. And the raw materials, the fossil fuels, are produced, they go through a series of chemical reactions at high temperatures where it cracks the hydrocarbon bonds inside of the fossil fuels and turns it into ethylene. Ethane gets turned into ethylene. There's other kinds of plastics, polystyrene and low-density polyethylene, high-density polyethylene. I'm sorry, I'm getting down a rabbit hole. The short answer to the Nurdle question is a Nurdle is a lentil-sized piece of plastic that comes out of that factory where the fossil fuel is made into plastic. It could be an ethane Nurdle or a polyethylene Nurdle. It could be a styrene Nurdle. But the Nurdle itself is not a plastic product until it goes to another factory to be made into a plastic product, like plastic bags or tires, packaging, anything made out of plastic. So the Nurdles are like glitter. And everybody knows that glitter gets everywhere and it lingers. Wherever Nurdles are transported, they spill into the environment. They're transported by a rail. They're transported by a truck. They're barged, and so we know that Nurdles are getting into the environment, and it's actually estimated that 250,000 tons of Nurdles enter waterways each year. And that's before they're even turned into a product. I don't know how many Nurdles per ton, but it's a lot because plastic is very lightweight.
Think about a lentil.
And it doesn't weigh very much, so it has more volume than weight. But for Nurdles, I would recommend listeners just go do an image search for Nurdles or Nurdle spill, and you'll see them, what they look like on beaches, and see what a Nurdle cleanup is like. And if you've ever tried to clean up litter, you know it's impossible.
Yeah, and what they look like in somebody's hand.
So, Alexis, you get a shampoo, you use the shampoo. What are you, Alexis, going to do with that plastic bottle after you use up the shampoo?
Well, you can actually buy shampoo bars that don't come in any packaging except a paper wrapper, just like soap bars. But to be less difficult with your question, when I run out, I try not to buy plastic if I can avoid it. And when I finish off a container, if it's a number one or number two and it's not a mixed plastic and it's clean, I'll put it in the recycling. Otherwise, I just throw away my plastic for the most part.
I was on a call the other day. I mentioned the fact that, back a few decades ago, I broke a Prel shampoo glass bottle in the shower. We used to use glass.
Yes. To get back to Ken's question, though, about, how do we stop making less plastic when it's ubiquitous? That is something that the plastics and the fossil fuel industry loves to say, to point out when people say we need to get off fossil fuels and we need to stop extraction. And that's by design. So the plastic that we see in the market is not there because of demand. It's there because of production and because the market has been flooded with cheap, subsidized, single-use plastics. We have the solutions we need to stop using plastic. We can go back to reuse and refill. We need major consumer brands who have deep pockets, who spend a lot of money fighting plastic bills, or fighting anti-plastic bills, to spend that money on reuse and refill infrastructure. And we can go back to other materials. We have lots of different types of natural fibers that we can use. And there's always progress being made in areas of sustainable natural fibers. So I think we just need laws to produce less plastic. And in the United States, it's very, very urgent because these plastic production facilities that I was talking about at the beginning are being built at a record pace in the United States. The industry has invested more than $200 billion in more than 330 new facilities in just like the past 10 years. And plastic production could quadruple by 2050 in the United States if we don't have intervention.
And once those facilities are built, they stay around a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the pretend part. Oh, it's just one building. We don't have to worry about the environmental aspects of that. It's just one building.
I actually saw this past February, I was doing a road trip from Indiana and back because my family's in Indiana. And I decided to do a toxic tour through Ohio and Pennsylvania because they have a lot of fracking, a lot of petrochemical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And that's where some of these plastic factories are being built. And I wanted to see it in person and meet some of the people there. So I saw the Shell ethane cracker plant that's being built in Beaver County, Pennsylvania. Menaka is the name of the town. It's 400 acres. Wow. And when it's operating, it will ship 100 rail cars worth of nurdles every day when it's operating. God. It has its own rail yard. It has its own barge dock, all to produce high density polyethylene and linear low density polyethylene nurdles from fracked ethane gas. And just to stay on the topic of nurdles for just a moment, I was looking down on the facility, like there's a vantage point where you can see it. And I was getting a tour by some local organizers who were pointing out like the various aspects of the facility, because it's like a lot of towers and it's really big. And there's like a pool, it looks like, in the compound. And I said, what is that? And they said, that's for the nurdles, to prevent the nurdles from going into the Ohio River. And I said, well, what if it floods? Because we're having more severe floods because of climate change. And they said, well, then that pool will probably flood and all the nurdles will go into the Ohio River. So, because the facility is right on the river. So even their pollution control devices don't prevent the pollution that happens because climate change is making these extreme weather events worse. And more, these facilities become more dangerous with these extreme weather events.
What can we see as an outcome of all of this? I mean, every marine animal and bird going to die with plastic?
I think that the depression aspects of this issue, I think it gets to people, oh, we'll never be able to eliminate plastic. But I think there was a time when that we would never be able to get rid of slavery. We would never be able to get child labor laws in. We would never be able to get women to vote. I mean, there's so many things that would never happen that did happen, and those laws are still there. We still don't have legal slavery. Women are still allowed to vote. We still have child labor laws. We got rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that was individuals against 600 corporations, the most powerful corporations on Earth, and we beat them. So, yes, we can stop plastics, but we have to work on it. And we can't think that we can't do it, because we can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We just need political will
yeah.
to do it, like many things.
Right.
where are we going to go with this? What can be done? I mean, we're worried about the marine animals and the birds that are ingesting this plastic. What can be done?
Well, we need to pass laws to stop the production of plastics. We have NURDL specifically. There's the Plastic Pellet Free Waters Act. It's Senate Bill 1507. This is a federal bill introduced by Senator Richard Durbin, 1507. This bill would require the EPA to issue a final rule to prohibit the discharge of NURDLs and other plastic production waste into waters of the United States, which is a much needed bill because currently the discharge of the NURDLs is not regulated like that. We have the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, another federal bill, which has more than 100 co-sponsors in Congress. And New York's own Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is an original co-sponsor of that bill. That bill has a suite of measures to reduce plastic pollution, including nationwide plastic bans. But the key for me is the moratorium on new federal permits for plastic production facilities that's in that bill. So it would put a 3-year halt on new permits, federal permits. Now states could still issue permits, but still that would be a really big deal. If we could just put this on pause and take a breath and say, okay, we need to stop building this infrastructure and not let it get built, and ask the EPA to take a hard look at the climate and environmental justice consequences of building these petrochemical facilities.
Now, I like the fact that you said we.
Sure. I think it's a good idea to call Senator Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, call his office or your regional office, because I assume your listeners are in New York, but possibly also New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
So call your New Jersey senators and tell them you support the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act and that we need our lawmakers to take plastic pollution seriously. If you want to start getting more involved and put more time into this, I really recommend going to our website at beyondplastics.org and signing up for our email list, because we do actions all the time and we have every level of action, whether you want to just sign a petition or you want to actually start a movement, start a campaign in your local town to work on plastics. We can help you do that. So beyondplastics.org is our website.
As usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us.
Join us on our next show in 2 weeks on Friday, May 27th for our birthday special on Rachel Carson, who inspired the modern environmental movement.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics. And to listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Mainstream media will rarely mention concerns about plastic. Corporations rely on your not knowing. They really profit from single-use plastics especially. They keep us buying more and more, and then petrochemical companies burn it. More poison power. WBAI doesn't accept ads or donations from such corporations, which is part of the reason that you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Ecologic and WBAI to exist.
And we love to see those BAI buddy pledges. Please join us so we can keep bringing you these unique programs.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Go to www.givetowbai.org and click Donate, then scroll down to Premium Selection, type Eco-Logic in the search box, and browse through 5 pages of Ecologic options or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy.
Like so many producers here at WBAI, we are volunteers and work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front line of many environmental issues. Pledging now, during this show especially, really helps Ecologic.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our much-appreciated engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on our next show, Friday, May 27th, that's in 2 weeks, to hear about Rachel Carson.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
at 2 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Together with my co-host, nurse family therapist, Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2wbai.org. That's the word give, the number 2, at wbai.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. You can support the show and the station even more by going to give2wbai.org and giving a monthly donation of as little as $10 per month as a WBAI buddy to your favorite show on WBAI 99.5 FM.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be on Sunday, May 15th at 1 p.m. The meeting will be by teleconference. The call-in number is 623-600-3766. The meeting ID number is 963-003. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. If you attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings and are a member of WBAI, you will become a CAB member. So please join the CAB, which evaluates programming. Again, the call-in number is 623-600-3766. The meeting ID number is 963-003. Thank you.
Peace, peace, y'all. I'm Brewex Boogie, representing Bronx-based DJ Collective, Uptown Vinyl Supreme. And every Friday on this station, the Harlem Connection celebrates artists and genres that helped establish Harlem as a cultural mecca. But this week is Bronx Week, and my Uptown Vinyl Supreme crew has been invited to come on board as guest musical conductors. So we hope that you'll join us and tune in this Friday night at 10 p.m. as we ride together and play 100% vinyl of the music that gives us life. Pull up to the station for all that and more right here on the Harlem Connection.
My name is Harvey Epstein. I represent the 74th Assembly District, but I'm here as a listener who cares deeply about BAI. If we talk about social justice movements in New York, you can't have the conversation without BAI. Right, BAI has been a part of every fabric of every movement, whether we're talking about police reform, criminal justice work, housing movement, everyone relies on BAI as a source of information, a source of opportunity, a source to move the movement forward.
Please call 516-620-3602 or go to give2wbai.org. Go to the website give2wbai.org and subscribe. Become a listener sponsor. Become a buddy, a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $10 or $20 a month or more. Or if you are a donor who has given us $100, think about giving us $200. Think about giving WBAI $500, whatever you can afford, in the name of your favorite program here